We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
First Take Your Take, hour number two of the podcast. If you missed hour number one, go check it out. And remember, we're going to start every hour now with my take. Gives me a little chance to stretch my wings, give you some of my thoughts. You'll hear First Take, you'll hear Stephen A's thoughts, you'll hear Your Take. But we start today with my take. And hour number two starts with the conversation of Dak. Now, the question was asked today, can Dak win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years? I'm here to remind most of you. This is to most of you. You hate your favorite quarterback. You hate your favorite team's quarterback. They aren't good enough. And here's the most important thing you need to hear. As the business of the NFL offseason continues, remember one thing. You can never look at your team and your players in a vacuum. And that's what so many people do. You guys take a look at it and you say, oh, you know what? Our wide receiver stinks. It could be a wide receiver here. My favorite team's wide receiver stinks. You know what we should do? We should trade him for a first-round draft pick, and then we'll take that draft equity and we'll draft somebody better. Understand the couple of things you just said there. You just said that the guy you think stinks is worth a huge draft pick that would give you some level of leverage moving forward in the draft. And then you just said that your team is going to be able to use that draft pick smartly. At some point, you got to stop all of that, turn it around, and think about what you're really saying. If your favorite team has a player that stinks, the rest of the NFL is probably aware. And what we're really doing for the most part is we're trading mediocrity for mediocrity. That's what happens. See, all this talk about Brady and all this talk about Dak and all this talk about the quarterback position forgets one thing. There's a very real scenario where Brady goes back to New England, Dak signs a long-term deal with Dallas, and guess what? Suddenly you're deciding between Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and Andy Dalton. Take that one. Woo! That going to make you go buy new season tickets? You going to go rush to the store to get that fresh Andy Dalton drip? I can't believe I just said fresh Andy Dalton drip, but I'm kind of proud of it. You going to do that? No. See, what we forget is for the most part, teams are like barbecue, slow and low. I lived in the South for a long time, right? What do they tell you? If you're going to cook proper barbecue, you got to do it slow and low. You got to take your time, you got to simmer it, and you just got to let it cook. Unfortunately, for most of you, that's exactly how NFL teams are built, and you forget. Teams are built with a slow strategy. Draft right. Mid-level free agents. Build depth. Get the guys in place that you need. Get little pieces built so that eventually you have all the ingredients you need for perfect pulled pork nachos. I'm very hungry after this analogy. I mean, that's the way that you build it. The problem is we become so obsessed with some guy that we think is going to be available that will save our team that we forget to look at our team the way we should. We should look at our team as a slow-cooked meal. All right, you don't just wake up suddenly and say, you know what, we're going to add Brady, and then we're going to win a Super Bowl. Look at what the 49ers have shown you. Build a whole roster. Take your time with it. Do it the right way. And then even if all you have is an okay quarterback, you got a shot at the Super Bowl. Slow and low. See, the Cowboys, they know this. You can love or hate the Cowboys' results. But why did Jason Garrett get let go? Why did Jason Garrett, we should say, not be renewed as the head coach? Why? He didn't make enough out of the great ingredients that he had. His meal wasn't good enough. It's simple. The Cowboys aren't going to let Dak go because there's not another option out there that's going to be anywhere near as good as Dak. And they've been building slow and low. Are they negotiating hard? Yeah. Might they franchise him? Sure, that's their right. But every team should be looking at what the Cowboys have actually done, which is, guess what? Acquire talent, get better through the draft, build a team that gradually gets better, put all of the pieces in place, consistently do the right thing with talent development, and put yourself in the situation to win. Everybody thinks they've got a savior coming, and everybody thinks that the problem is one person that they've pinpointed on their roster. That's what football fans think across the board. What you've forgotten is that one problem you see on your roster is probably one of dozens of problems on your roster. And the one guy that you're giving no value to probably also doesn't have a lot of value with the rest of the league. So how do you fix it? How do you get your team right? Slowly, but surely, you rebuild from the ground up until you get some level of momentum. And then you put yourself in a situation where you can contend for the playoffs and it all comes together. Look, there's not an easy trick here. There's not an easy trick. But a lot of teams are going to look at Tom Brady and they're going to say, there's the easy fix. Not true. And Cowboys fans are going to look at Dak and say, oh, he's not worth it. Also not true. Ultimately, you have to look at every player on your roster, not in a vacuum, but you have to look at every player on your roster with a reminder of who you have versus who's available versus who's actually attainable and what you can actually do with them. And remember one thing, a boring draft, a boring free agency, man, that's something the Patriots have had for a very long time. How's it worked? That's something that, let's say, the Packers have had for a very long time. How's it worked? That's something, frankly, the Saints have had for a very long time. How has it worked? Look at the Saints. When they traded their entire draft to get Ricky Williams, that didn't work. When they went slow and low, it did. Take a note from the teams that are doing it the right way and remind yourself, Super Bowls? Meh. No idea who's going to win the Super Bowl for the next 4 years. What we do know is who can be competitive. And we see who can be competitive by who builds the right way. That's my take. First Take, your take. Now let's hear what everybody on First Take had to say about Dak and coronavirus, everything else. Thanks for hanging out. We open the second hour of First Take, your take with a Woj bomb as the Warriors continue to figure out how to handle the San Francisco Health Office's order that prohibits groups of events of 1,000 or more from assembling. Sources have told ESPN, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, that the Golden State Warriors are planning to play foreseeable home games without fans in observance. He also tweets Warriors still meeting on the matter and further direction could come from league owners' call this afternoon. Per sources, for now, the Chase Center is expected to be empty for games versus Brooklyn on Thursday. Warriors are away then until March 25th. That does buy them some time to figure out how to handle it. If you missed the breaking news today, the San Francisco Health Office has put in a two-week ban of events of more than 1,000 people assembling, and that is at least the beginning of it. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and, of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can chime in on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How should sports leagues be handling this? How should they be handling the coronavirus outbreak? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz as we continue to get minute-by-minute updates on what's going on, actually, what's going on out there. So as we take a look at what's going on, I do want to say, I've asked you guys, would you go to the game? And several of you are saying yes. Ben says, absolutely, I'm still going to arenas and sporting events if the doors are open, still open, because everything happens for a reason. And if it's your time to go because of the coronavirus, you're going to go at home, not necessarily at the Phillips Arena or at the Staples Center. That's one way to look at it as we continue to get thoughts on that. And then several people coming in and saying, I would go. Ollie says, I would go for sure, but my girlfriend, like 99% of my family and friends, would not. And there's a part of me here that has to stress this, and to me, as we look at what to do moving forward, I have to stress what everybody sort of needs in these moments. And sometimes we forget that sports at their best are entertainment, right? And when I used to be in the music industry, one thing we talked about is that whether it was a movie, whether it was a sporting event, or whether it's a concert, it's all one entertainment dollar. There's only so much entertainment space, time, and money to go around. And your job in entertainment, to me, is ultimately to entertain. Now, is it entertaining to watch a game for the Warriors in front of an empty crowd? Maybe not. Maybe not as much as it could be. But right now, more than ever, I think distraction and normalcy are important. Canceling all sports gives it also takes away a moment of escapism from so many people that turn to sports for that very thing. If there is a way to still play these games, and I don't care if it's in a high school gym, I don't care if it's in a quarantine gym, I don't care how they do it. If there's a way to still give us the sports that we love so that we can at least get the escapism we need during these times of chaos, I think that's a good for everybody. Ultimately, I love the idea of making sure that what they do is as safe as possible. And if that means making sure nobody's in the arena, fine. But still giving us something that we can watch so that we can still be distracted, so we can still be entertained, and at least for those few hours, we can take our mind off of everything else that's going on in the world, is more important than ever in the world when you're going through times like this. That's why I hope the NBA and every major sport figures out how to handle this in a way that doesn't ultimately cancel everything. As long as the players are healthy, and as long as they're not putting people at risk, giving people the entertainment they need is important. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, we got some Stephon Marbury. Stephon Marbury was a guest on Complex's Load Management podcast recently, where he criticized LeBron James and some others who've said they were going to carry out Kobe's legacy. This is what Marbury said.
You don't need to go and get guys like LeBron to go speak and talk about what they're going to carry and all of that. He don't need you to carry his legacy. His legacy is already his legacy. You don't do that. You carry your own legacy. You keep it popping and going. You're not no real Laker.
So the question is, were those comments in or out of bounds? ESPN NBA analyst Matt Barnes joined Stephen A. and Max to debate it.
I believe that LeBron James has to win a chip in order to be, you know, in the pantheon of Laker lore and all of that other stuff. Because when we talk about the great Lakers, as I have said on many, many occasions, with the exception of Elgin Baylor, who retired, I think, like 9 or 10 games into the 72 season when they won the chip, okay, there is no great Laker that has ever failed to win the chip. I'm talking about back to the days of George Mikan, to Wilt Chamberlain, to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic, Worthy, Kobe, Shaq, and every single marquee Laker.
Keep going.
Has won. That's right.
Jerry West.
How can I forget Jerry? No, my point is every single great Laker has a chip to go along with their name. So if Marbury had said that, I got no issues. But to sit up there and to go at LeBron like that, for what?
Right.
Why are you doing that? You know how, listen, I covered Stephon Marbury when Marbury was a star at Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. I was a high school reporter for the New York Daily News. And it was actually one of my proudest times. You know why? Because everybody was sold on Felipe Lopez. And I was the one that was like Daily News. Well, hold on, y'all. Yeah. There's this dude at Lincoln High School. Your sister, that Felipe Lopez is not on this brother's level. You go to your Georgia Tech for 1 year and then go to the NBA. Stephon Marbury was that dude, an elite player, you know, and special. But the point is, and not really a bad guy, believe it or not, really not. It's just that sometimes he gets caught up in expressing himself about stuff. He got no business expressing himself in that fashion. What have you done in your NBA career? You know how many destinations you've been to? I'm just looking at your resume here. What is it? Like what is it? 11, 14, 15 seasons. New York, Phoenix, New Jersey, Minnesota, Boston.
China.
And China. Big in China.
Yeah.
But ain't won a damn thing.
But right or wrong, for context, just so you know, this wasn't specifically about LeBron. It was more focused on Kobe because he was also frustrated with people showing fake love to Kobe. Yeah. People yeah. that hated Kobe had beef, and I think that's important.
Let me say this
when
last
I set
point.
Up this topic,
let me say
that's
this
part
last
of the conversation.
Because I know a few people who feel that way. They didn't even know Kobe. So how you know the love is fake? See what I'm saying? It could be. But we don't know.
No, this is that,
so if we don't know, let the brother rest in peace. And if they got to live with themselves, but you don't know.
First of all,
go ahead,
I
Max.
Don't think it was out of bounds.
Right.
And what Molly just brought up is something I want to touch on. I think what Steph is reacting to, and I felt it too. Like I dealt with Kobe some, and I was strangely affected by it because he's not in my family. We weren't friends, but I dealt with him some, and I was affected by it as though it was someone in my family.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of thinking about that, like, wow, why is this the case? And then when you watch TV and read the paper or go online, whatever, listen to the radio, sometimes you get the feeling like when a tragedy like that happens, it's a virtue signaling contest. Who could be the saddest, right? And I didn't want to make it like that. I felt like, look, my day goes on, and then I'm shaken out of it like, oh, Kobe. Damn. But I'm not going to act like the earth stopped spinning, right? And so I think Marbury is kind of feeling like that. That's the first thing, okay? Now, for him to bring up LeBron, saying, hey, do you – I think Marbury's touching on the idea that he feels that it's – that Kobe's passing has been commercialized a touch. And I think he resents that. In terms of Marbury being a good guy, this is a dude who makes $15 sneakers, costs the same to make the expensive ones it costs to make his, and gives them away to school kids. Like, Marbury's a very good guy in certain respects. So I think in this day and age, you just speak your mind, and if it's unpleasant to some, now finally, Matt, before I kick it to you, real quick, is LeBron a true Laker? The fact of the matter is he is trying to be. My hat is off to him. He's giving his all to that franchise. If you're a superstar player, you want to be a true Laker, and you got traded there or you signed there, you must win a chip. Marbury's not wrong about that.
He's not wrong from a standpoint of he has to win to be considered one of the greats, but I think it was definitely a low blow for no reason. To me, there's no reason. But then on the same point of view, I understand, not to say that LeBron had this kind of fake love with Kobe, because they obviously had a relationship, but I did see, knowing Kobe, he was one of the superstars that wasn't necessarily always overwhelmingly loved by everyone.
Right.
And obviously, when he passed, he was. So I understand what he's saying with the fake love. But as far as just taking a shot at LeBron, I just thought it was a cheap shot. It was unnecessary. Whether guys have to speak on it or do it, you want to just honor Kobe because he was such a great guy. So he's the man with number 23 playing for the Lakers now. So he feels it's his responsibility to kind of take on that burden. So I understand it. But to take a shot at him saying he's not even a true Laker, I think that was uncalled for.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, especially when you talk about where all this conversation has come from. It's come from a spot of grief. There is no book that tells you how to handle these moments. LeBron's doing his best. And frankly, whatever you think of LeBron the player, whatever you think of LeBron the ambassador for the league, the things he's done right and wrong in his career, the way he's held together a team that is going through grief at different stages and different levels, I think is absolutely remarkable. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. By the way, I still think Jordan's better than LeBron, so, you know, there you go. Now I've fed the LeBron lovers and haters all in one comment, and I'll just stay out of my mentions. All right, so how should sports leagues be handling coronavirus? We're asking you because we have more news as the day has gone on. San Francisco, the city, has put a lock on any gathering of over 1,000 people. Can't happen for the next 2 weeks, which will impact at least two home games for Golden State. We've had a Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski has let us know they plan to play tomorrow night's game against the Nets in front of a crowd of nobody. I've told you I think it's important that games without fans still happen because it gives everybody some level of escapism. And I'm asking you guys also, would you go? I mean, if it's open to you and you know the risk, are you still going? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How should all this be handled? Josh in Indiana, we've heard some First Take. Josh, what's your take on coronavirus and how this is going on?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, what San Francisco's doing is probably setting the precedent. And although as a sports fan, I hate to see that precedent set, better to sacrifice what is just entertainment for the short term and play to empty seats. I had the chance to live through that a little bit in Baltimore in 2015, and that precedent was set a lot sooner than people think. If you remember back in 2015 during the Freddie Gray riots in Baltimore, the Orioles played in front of an empty Camden Yards. Granted, it wasn't because of a virus, but it was because of public safety. And it just, I don't think people realize, though, viewing a game in an empty stadium, there's some entertainment value lost there. I think people would be drawn to it at first, but prolonged, I think people want to move away from it.
Well, and maybe that's right. You know, I think there's a little bit about, like Bubba says, go watch your favorite team, enjoy your life, have fun, Bubba power. You know, I mean, there is sort of two sides to this. Garrett in Texas wants to chime in on this. Garrett, what's your take? Garrett, we got you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, sorry. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, you hit it on the head when you were talking about the entertainment value on it. You're going there for an escape from the real world for, you know, the whatever couple hours you are there.
Well, so. And you are escaping from it. The question is, how do we do it and keep everybody safe? Now, also, it should be noted in my statement here where I'm saying I hope they play the games. If the option is postpone the games and the option is get to the games whenever we possibly can and just let it see where it goes, or play the games right now in front of empty stadiums, empty arenas, I'll take playing the games right now because I think we could use the escapism. The other side of that is that's also presuming that NBA players are currently healthy. At some point, we also have to acknowledge the fact that until we know the status of everybody in the NBA, every player is putting themselves at risk just the same way you are when you go to work. We all know that. You're putting yourself at risk. So when we put somebody in that situation that, God forbid, turns out to test positive for the coronavirus, now we have to reanalyze it. But right now, if you're just telling me, hey, we can play the games, fine. Play the games. At least give us some opportunity to feel like we're normal. In the meantime, we'll keep stacking the lines for how you think sports leagues should handle coronavirus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know, there's a lot of people chiming in say they'd still go. They're going to go to games anytime they can possibly go, and they're not worried about it, which is a level of flippant. Hey, I get it. But let's get some Straight Talk in the meantime on other NBA topics. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As we look at duos, and we've talked a lot about duos on this show, There was a real conversation today on First Take about one particular duo matchup. Kawhi and PG, or Steph and Clay. ESPN NBA analyst Matt Barnes joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about which duo they'd rather have right now.
I'm not saying Kawhi and Paul George are Jordan and Pippen. I'm not saying Paul George is to two guards or small forwards what Klay Thompson is as a pure shooter, right? But both those guys can do so many things. They can guard multiple positions. They can shoot from the outside. They can take it to the rack. They can get their own shot. When you have two-way wings, it's the best thing you can have, and that's what the Clippers have.
I completely and totally disagree with you. I love Kawhi Leonard. Paul George is my man. They're both phenomenal players. I'm not worried about Paul George one bit come playoff time. He'll show up. He's a big-time talent. But Steph and Klay Thompson, and I, as I have said on many occasions, is the greatest shooting backcourt ever in the history of basketball. These dudes are sniping. You could call them sniper extraordinaires. They're snipers of another level, of another dimension. We ain't seen nothing like this. Now, revealing my age, I go back to the days, bro, of downtown Freddie Brown in Seattle. You understand me? Dale Ellis, Ricky Pierce. This is before Bird and these boys. You understand what I'm saying? The Ray Allens and Reggie Millers and cats like that came later. Klay Thompson. And Steph Curry, you know, Klay Thompson's a career 42% shooter from three-point range. 41.9% to be exact. You know that Steph Curry is a career 43.5% shooter from three-point range. These are good. Listen, and now if this, not to, to throw this out there, Max, if this were the 80s or the early 90s or something like that, different ball game. I'm going with Klay. I'm sorry, I'm going with Kawhi and Paul George. In this era, as soft as this game is called now, where you can sit up there, you can get called for technical for passing gas. I mean, I don't want to hear that. It's a different day. And when you look at these brothers, their shots from the perimeter, anywhere. Their shots from the free throw line. And I will remind everybody, you got to get into an offense, and as great as Kawhi Leonard is, you know what makes Kawhi great? I watched Kawhi the other day catch a pass. I mean, he caught it running to his right, and his body was this way, and somehow he was able to catch and square up all in one motion and hit the shot. It's beautiful, but he has to get to his spots. There is no spot for Klay. There is no spot. There is no spot. There is no spot for Steph Curry. Max, the second they walk past half court, there is no player, no two players in the history of basketball that can say this other than them two. The second they walk past half court, they're a threat. You literally have to extend your defense 10 feet to guard them. There is nothing to discuss. These two right here, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball.
And if that was the question, you'd be right. They shoot better for sure.
It's a tough call right here because obviously Klay and Steph have a few years on Paul and Kawhi, but Klay and Steph have proven on the biggest stage that they can do it. And this is a different game, so it's not so much athleticism and strength and being able to get down the paint. This is just being able to, you know, it's a run-and-gun game. You know what I mean? So as people get older, their athleticism declines. Steph and Klay aren't necessarily worried about that because as they get older, their shot continues to improve, and it's hard to say how much more can it improve. But these guys, like you said, stepping past half court are in their range. So I would take Klay and Steph over those two.
They certainly shoot better. There's no question they shoot better, and they're great. They have
shooting. That shooting has got them championships.
Number one, Paul George and Kawhi also shoot it well. Not like on that level, but they shoot it well. If they couldn't shoot, that would be one thing.
I don't even think they're in the same category of shooting, though.
But they can take a mid-range. They can shoot a three.
They're not in the same stratosphere.
I'm not arguing that. That's your argument. I'm saying they can shoot. That's checked off. The other dudes shoot better than anyone ever. I agree with that. But there's a whole lot, like, there's a lot more to the game. Steph and Klay need more to be considered tight. Like, you have those two, you still need a Draymond Green, a Swiss Army knife pick and roll partner who can defend and allow you to play five out and all that.
And
if you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you don't need anyone else special. You can just fill in the gaps. Look at the Clippers this year. Just fill in the gaps. You're a title contender.
Let me try this one more time, which I'm going to try to explain. You see, Max Kellerman, when you get on the court against somebody that are snipers like that, all those things you just said go out the window.
That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less.
only at Walmart. You guys are continuing to give us the straight talk on coronavirus. The breaking news everybody needs to know, Warriors are going to be playing Thursday night versus the Nets with no fans in the building. That's the expectation right now, according to our own Adrian Wojnarowski. Also, the Mariners will be moving home games from Seattle through the end of March following the state of Washington's decision to ban large group events in response to the coronavirus outbreak. So we are seeing the trickle down to sports across the board as we try to figure out what it means, where it goes next, and frankly, what gets it all figured out. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want your take. You've heard some First Take. You've heard some of my take. I want your take. How should sports leagues be handling the coronavirus outbreak? You can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get some of your take. But first, we're going to give you some straight talk. You know what a full court press and defense in basketball is, right? Full defensive coverage with zero holes. And that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but this is important, for a lot less, just $45 a month, gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. There's no contract, you get full court coverage and half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Your Straight Talk about how to handle the coronavirus next. First Take, your take. Breaking news you're hearing on SportsCenter, just heard, we've been telling you about today. The developments continue with coronavirus and how it impacts specifically the world of sports. Today, the Warriors now know they'll be playing tomorrow night's game against the Nets without any fans in front of them, as the city of San Francisco has put a ban on any gatherings of over 1,000 people. It will affect this game and at least one other, that ban for the next 2 weeks. It will affect at least one other game at home against the Hawks later in the month. Also, the Mariners will be moving home games from Seattle through the end of March following the state of Washington's decision to ban large group events in response to the coronavirus outbreak. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. You guys can chime in on this. How should sports leagues be handling the coronavirus outbreak at this point? We don't know if there's going to be postponement of games. We don't know if it's going to be more of what we're seeing with the Warriors. How should leagues be handling it? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. But we want you on the Shell Penzo Performance Line to hang out with us there as well. Seems like a lot of you on Twitter are saying, who cares? We're just going to go for it. In the meantime, speaking of the Shell Penzo Performance Line, we're going to go over there now, where we're joined by Mark Spears, undefeated and ESPN NBA senior writer and Oakland resident. So, Mark, let's start with the simple thing here. What's your reaction to finding out that the Warriors are going to be playing tomorrow night in front of essentially nobody?
I think it's smart. I mean, we don't know how bad this is going to get. I have a friend who's a big-time doctor in San Francisco, and he's scared that, you know, there isn't an adequate amount of things to help treat people. So to me, it's better to be safe than sorry, trying to get on top of something we may not be able to get on top of the best we can. And so, you know, I think it's an extremely smart idea under these really unfamiliar, unknown, to be determined, potentially dire circumstances.
Mark, we've heard a little bit during the show today from Windhorst talking about the fact that the league's going to meet today to figure out what best options are. If you're looking at the decision to play in front of empty, in empty arenas, or to not play the games at all, which do you think is better for the league?
Well, empty arenas. I mean, games limit the amount of people, players, though, you know, it won't be as fun as typically, but, you know, maybe they could add conditions that make it, you know, suitable or at least somewhat fun to play in under the circumstances. I actually suggested the Warriors have a great DJ named DJ D Sharp. Like, let him play the entire game. Maybe give it the feel like when it was back in the day when we played in the playgrounds, and or you played in that open gym, and that guy brought the box and put it on the side of the court, the boom box, and played that. I mean, it's bigger than basketball right now, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of money lost, but I'd rather there be money lost than lives lost.
By the way, that I am all in on the idea of putting DJs in and making this totally an interactive, fun experience to just to see the players hanging out on the sidelines and on the bench, and no matter the sport, while a DJ's going, to see the moves, see what makes people react. Mark, you might have the best idea of your entire career there. I do want to ask you about money lost, though. You mentioned, I mean, we talk about teams, but what about the people that work in these arenas? So, you know, how does this sort of impact the people that may not be household names? We don't see them all the time, but they're used to working on nights like tomorrow night.
I mean, it certainly impacts a lot of people because concessions are closed and, you know, there's all these beautiful new lounges, for example, that the Chase Center has, these suites. They got hidden suites. They got all kinds of special rooms. I don't care if you're sitting way up at the top. There's something unique that you could have with your fan experience. So, like, even yesterday, like, when I'm leaving the arena, they had a guy open the door for me because I don't think they even wanted the fans to touch the door handle. I felt bad for the guy. Like, that's your job tonight to have to do that. There's definitely going to be a lot of money lost, man. But
do you
like have- in a week's time, that money may not be important, man. You know, I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping that this turns around, but if this turns bad, ain't nobody gonna be thinking about no basketball.
Well, and let me get your thoughts on sort of where the players are, since you're around the team so much. I mean, we've been asking people to chime in and give their take throughout the course of the show, and most fans are either on the side of it's an overreaction or I'd still go into the arena if it's open for me. Seems like fans are a little indifferent. Where are players on this issue right now?
Well, yesterday was really, really awkward. Going to the Warriors game, and you know, I've known Doc Rivers for almost seems like ever, for about 15, 20 years, and I've had a close relationship with him. And then he's talking to the media, sitting on a podium like 6 feet away from him. And I wanted to have a follow up question with him afterwards, and I kind of had to like scream it to him a little bit. But then afterwards, I had a one on one with a player, and that player who knew me was comfortable like walking and talking with me. So I think it's really odd, really awkward. But I think everybody understands there's a lot of elbow pounds, I guess you could say. But I think it's mutually exclusive to who the players have relationships or not, but just not going to locker room pregame, not going postgame, having to do everything by like it almost felt like I was covering colleges again. They just bring everybody out to you, you know, and nobody gets anything unique. I think that, yeah, for journalism, it's definitely not fun. And it perhaps maybe people start appreciating some of the inside stuff that we could get by having the ability to get time with the players in a not-so-formal way.
Well, what I know is you should follow him on Twitter, at Mark J. Spears, ESPN, one of my favorite writers that we have with The Undefeated. You do great work, but the best thing you've ever done now is giving us this DJ idea. I'm running with it. We're going to make it a thing, man. Mark, thanks for the time.
Every team got one. Let's take advantage of these guys.
I'm telling you, that makes for a more interesting TV product, too. I'm all in on this, Mark. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you. So I want to keep getting your take on what should be happening right now. Jared, in Oregon, what's your take on how sports leagues should handle coronavirus?
I mean, I think that, you know, we had the SARS and the bird flu, the swine flu a couple years ago, and sports did not shut down like they're going to right now. I just think, you know, sports is a place that we go to have fun and forget about our day-to-day life. I think it should go as normal.
Doesn't it speak to, Jared, I want to ask you a quick follow-up here. Doesn't it speak to how different this is that sports are now being impacted because they haven't been in the past?
Oh, yes. It's a major deal. I mean, I don't want to watch a basketball game with no one there. I mean, could you imagine this, if this happened during football season, how absurd it'd be to have an empty stadium while watching football?
Well, and there's no doubt about it. Jared, thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it. I think what really stands out to me, though, is we keep talking about the fact that, you know, frankly, sports aren't usually impacted by these things. But what it comes down to is, in the end of it all, like the fact that sports are impacted speaks to what a big deal this is. And in fact, we're breaking news right now. This was just tweeted out by the XFL. statement regarding the LA-Seattle game. I'm reading this directly from the XFL Twitter handle. It says, based on the proclamation issued today by Washington Governor Jay Inslee, the Seattle Dragons will host the LA Wildcats this Sunday as scheduled. The game will take place at 4 p.m. at CenturyLink Field without fans in the venue. The game will be broadcast live, also as scheduled, on ESPN2. That's according to Jeffrey Pollock, the XFL president and COO. So we now know that the XFL can be added to the leagues that are going to be playing in front of literally no one, especially for a league like the XFL, a baby league that's trying to get their footing, that needs every opportunity for a win that they can possibly get. They now have to play a game in one of their more passionate markets in Seattle in front of literally nobody. That is going to be interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to see if you guys watch that when it's in front of nobody, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. That's on top of the Warriors playing tomorrow night without versus the Nets without fans. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on how sports leagues should handle coronavirus, and we'll do it next. It's First Take, Your Take. More of Your Take coming up on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We've let you guys take this thing over. Right, you guys have been passionate about talking about coronaviruses, coronavirus outbreak, I should say. So we've been letting you do it. It's First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. How should leagues be handling it? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you missed the second hour of today's show, it's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast. And we're doing something fun. We're starting First Take, Your Take, the podcast, with My Take. Gives you a little opportunity to hear me expand a little bit on some of the big topics from the course of the day. All of that is brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking account or savings account with no fees or minimum. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. So, you guys are absolutely fired up. Part of this comes because of the breaking news that we have now. The Warriors will be playing Thursday night versus the Nets at Golden State. With no fans in attendance. We've also now found out that the XFL game this weekend between LA and Seattle, taking place in Seattle, will also be played with no fans. All of this, the Mariners going to be moving home games from Seattle through the end of March following the state of Washington's decision to ban large group events in response to the outbreak. The NBA is having a massive meeting today to consider what to do with games. In fact, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA reporter, joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about that meeting and to react to what it means for the NBA moving forward.
I'm not one of those people that walks around being scared of anything too often. And I'm like every single day, every single second, wash your hand, wash your hand. I've washed my hands like 15 times in three, four hours.
My hands are so
rough. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody touch you. I mean, hand sanitizer and beyond. So now let's transition that to the world of basketball. Okay? You're talking about guys playing in tank tops. You're talking about guys playing in shorts. You know, blood sometimes. You know,
sweat for sure.
Sweat for sure. Even sweat on the damn basketball. Okay? This is the kind of stuff that you got to think about. You could bring up the wife. You could bring up the kid. I'm saying you don't even have to go there. In other words, it's not even about somebody in your family having it. It could be you on the basketball court. And then you take that home.
Yeah, and some people don't have symptoms at first.
But now.
No, you're asymptomatic for like the first 10 days.
What you don't want to do is be on national television trying to scare the hell out of people. What I'm making the case of, they've already scared the hell out of us.
I know, and I don't think, look, I want to be clear. There's two different things here. One is the virus. That's for the health people and those professionals. Make a wall.
Yep.
Now we have the reaction. That's what we're focusing on in the sports world, is the reaction to the virus. I'm not telling you I know what's going on with the virus. I'm telling you what's happening with the reaction. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago in Italy, they were saying this exact same thing. Oh, we're just going to play these Serie A games. Well, we're only going to not play games in the north. We're only going to not have fans in the north. That, I'm telling you, if you think this train is stopping, it's not stopping.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. Shameless plug, by the way, guys. Go check out ESPN Daily this week. I'm hosting it this week, and we bring you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters every day, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to get some of your take on this. How should leagues be handling coronavirus? Andrew in Texas, what do you got? What's your take on this one, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Here's my take. I think we all need to take a breath. This is spiraling out of control, and I wish we could focus on some real numbers like 400,000 people died from the flu last year worldwide versus 4,300 have passed from, you know, tragically from coronavirus. If we keep operating under this kind of craziness, we might as well all lock ourselves in a closet and just cancel life.
Well, I'm not certainly not a medical expert to know much about the differences between the two other than the fact that we seem to know how one is one happens and how to control one, and we have no idea on the other. I would also argue that the fact that leagues are deciding they're willing to lose money is a statement. It is a statement to how serious this is. I don't disagree with you. Maybe we are spiraling out of control. I'm not smart enough to know. I just know this. Do you really think the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, Major League Baseball, soccer would take a loss they don't have to take? You think March Madness would put themselves at risk if they don't have to do it? That's significant to me. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Today, Jason in Montana, what do you got, man? What's your take on this?
Yeah, after listening, I know this probably would never happen, but something would be cool would be to have some games hosted up here in Montana where I'm from, or some of these other states that haven't had any confirmed coronavirus coronaviruses yet. If you know, bring them up here. There's a lot of fans up here who've never seen any pro games, and I think it'd be great, you know?
Well, and you know what? I don't think that's that far-fetched. Part of the meeting today that the NBA is having is should they find locations, even neutral site, that haven't had outbreaks. The toughest part of that, though, is how do we know when and if and how they will have outbreaks? And as a caller pointed out earlier, God forbid somebody comes to one of those games to play and they have it. Do they create an outbreak? So it is interesting as we take a look at all of it. And Damien says, when we got word that South by Southwest was canceled, a lot of coworkers declined to work the Dell PGA. I've been through so much in life that to live in fear. I understand being safe and precautious, but fear, no, sir, that dog won't hunt. You know what? I don't disagree with you at all. The bigger impact out of South by Southwest canceling is that 58 full-time employees were let go a day after they had to cancel the festival. That tells you how serious Southwest thought it was, South by Southwest thought it was. That tells you how much it meant to them that they thought they had to cancel, that they were willing to take that ramification. And if that's a ramification of it, there are layers to this that will take not only weeks to figure out from a disease standpoint, but also years to point out. So as we continue to go through it, we'll see how it continues to impact the sports world. And that's what we're really focused on here. Where's the line between entertainment that I think we all need right now? Does that come from playing in front of empty arenas? I don't know, but I know that we want some level of normalcy, and we're still trying to figure it out. Speaking of still trying to figure it out, Will Cain, he'll keep trying to figure out. The coronavirus conversation continues on the Will Cain Show. And don't forget, check out the First Take, Your Take podcast. We start now with my take. Hear it. Go get it wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great day, guys.